Welcome to Blazing Grace with Jason Graves and Taff Winnick. Here you'll find no condemnation, just two guys who are willing to help you discover God's grace for your life. Let's tackle today's issues. Here's Jason and Taff.
It's the Blazing Grace Show. This is Jason Graves along with Taff Winnick, and we're going to be talking about objectification today. Taff, how's it going?
It's going well. I just was, when you said Taff Winnick, I heard sort of in the air, sidekick.
Right, right. Well, you know what?
I missed that.
It's better to be a sidekick than to have no kick at all, isn't it?
Right.
I don't know. Well, maybe not. Well, the bottom line is that sidekick or co-host or whatever you want to be called or people want to call you, there is no replacement for Taff Winnick.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome. Are you enjoying your smoothie?
This is an epic smoothie.
Fruits makes one of the best.
It's putting me right in the place I need to be for this show. So,
which is important.
Yeah.
So listen, objectification. Before I get into objectifying your smoothie over there, you know, coveting things like that. Where are we going to go with this show today? I mean, when you hear the word objectification, as a sex addict, don't you kind of think about sort of just the guy? Maybe on the corner in the trench coat, and he's, you know, oogling a bunch of people, or some creepy perv in the woods as you're going on a hike, and what's that guy doing over there? You know what I mean?
Well, all the cliches, I guess.
All of the above, right? Right. But really, I mean, this is something that anybody who struggles with any kind of lust in any way has dealt with, objectification. So there's objectification of women. There's objectification of men. We're going to talk about both of those. Why, first of all, in your view, is this subject worth talking about?
Well, because it's the thing that, when someone is wrestling with addiction, when we do that, when we're in that mindset, we're so self-oriented that all of the imagery, the experience, the, you know, everything that goes with that is all about the self. And we are oblivious a lot of times to what that actually says about how we're seeing other human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's the thing, the objectifying part is that doesn't really occur unless somebody says it to you like that. Unless somebody tells you that's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're dehumanizing mm-hmm. someone if you look at them to desire them. It doesn't register that way because
right.
the addictive mind says, well, everything's mine. I want it all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the problem with objectification is that it takes a person and turns it into a thing. So objectification, right? It takes a person that is created in the image of God, Imago Dei, and it reduces that person in your mind to just something to be had. If you think about it turns into something that can be projected upon. For example, think of a screen and a projector. A movie is shooting a film onto an object. And when we project onto people, there's a similar effect in that we're not really seeing them for who they are. We're seeing them through our own filter, okay? So similar kind of problem with objectification and projection. And the other point, and we can kind of get into this a little bit later, is that there's kind of a continuum between, you know, noticing, observing, looking, objectifying.
Well, and I think you missed one. There's even appreciating.
Appreciating, right.
Okay. But there's a thin line between, and I think that's the last thing that happens before objectification.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And how do you stop at appreciating? And sometimes, you know, in terms of boundaries,
mm-hmm.
sometimes, you know, depending on where you are in recovery, you can't even let yourself get to the appreciation part because mm-hmm. your mind automatically takes appreciation to that self-serving, you know, take it for myself and my mind kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, I was just talking with this with a group of guys yesterday in one of our teleconference groups about can you really appreciate, can we really appreciate people when we look at them as sex addicts, as people in recovery, can we do that? So I guess that begs the question, is all looking objectification?
No, I don't believe so. Mm-hmm. I think everything that's supposed to happen between human beings that's righteous happens in relationship.
Okay.
And so, you know, I was working with the teen group the other day, and we were talking about, you know, they go into these high schools, and, you know, it's, and for these guys, it's like eye candy buffet all day long. You know, and the girls are dressed immodestly, and there's such a struggle for these guys who are trying to stay pure. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, what we came up with was, can you, well, one of my guys, I said, why don't you, if you're triggered by a girl at school, why don't you force yourself to immediately go up and look her in her eyes and ask her name? Mm-hmm. Right. Even if it's embarrassing, even if it's in a weird spot.
Right.
And that was the challenge to him. Mm-hmm. And so he comes back the next week, and for him, that really did the trick, because you can't ask someone's name and have a second or two of relationship and stay in that mode very easily.
Mm-hmm. Right. So therein lies one of the alternatives or the antidotes of objectification, relationship, right?
Exactly.
I know for me, I can totally relate with what you're saying, because while I have not had much experience objectifying women, although I have been there, you know, I used to look at pornography that was just, you know, women only. You know, with my struggle, of course, being more lust around the same gender mm-hmm. issue, so other guys, I have noticed that there may be somebody that I am attracted to, but as soon as I start to get to know them, that attraction kind of dissipates. You know, it really lessens. And that's because it becomes more about a relationship.
I was going to say, Jason, they may be more attractive as a person the more you get to know them. I mean, some mm-hmm. people you get to know and they may be, you know, visually attractive, but the more you talk to them and you just see that there's a light in them mm-hmm. and, you know, they become even more attractive, but it mm-hmm. changes
yep.
in relationship. You can still find, you know, somebody can be just a stunning character to look at and to relate to, mm-hmm. but it changes the more you know them, and especially the more you know them spiritually. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, you're looking at them as an image bearer of God.
Yeah.
You tune in to they're a person on this planet right. with a purpose and a calling, and if would you really want to taint that?
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you care about somebody and when you're connected to them at those levels, spiritually, relationally, emotionally, intellectually, when you're connected to something, you know, like I'm connected to my arm. Right? My arm is connected to my body, my leg. So I don't want pain to happen to my arm. I don't want pain or harm or any kind of ill fate to become of my foot or my leg. Same thing when we're connected in relationships. We become protective then over those people, and they become just real to us. So this is a great example of what you had this kid do, is go and connect with that person. Let me ask you, how many times have you felt this same way where, okay, I wish I could get to know that person, but it's intimidating? Well, here's the deal. If you don't take the risk and reach out and connect with that person in relationships somehow, then you will stay stuck, okay? You will stay stuck. Or you can take a little bit of a risk, like, you know, Taft's suggesting that we do, is we just go and, you know, ask something very simple. What's your name? And maybe there's other creative ways to do that. Then that's the first step towards getting away from this kind of stuff so that we don't have to stay stuck in this lust stuff.
So Jason, here's the giant torpedo to this whole process. Here's what sinks the ship. You know, I know that this show has its roots in talking about pornography. And you know, you and I have discussed that even several times in different shows, which is the ultimate, you know, in objectification. It's the, you know, it's imagery of real people, of image bearers of God. There's an insidious buffet. I mean, it's twice I've used buffet on the show, which is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully
not the last time you used this insidious.
Right, because that's a good one to get in there.
Sure.
But you can see anything you want. Mm-hmm. And every time you gratify yourself sexually, disconnected from relationship, makes your tendency to objectify even stronger.
Right. Absolutely.
And so when you have that physical release not connected to relationship, not connected to being to a multidimensional relationship with someone. Mm-hmm.
And that could be relationship with others, relationship to God, and relationship with yourself. Notice I don't say or, I say and. We have to be connected in relationship to others, to God, and to ourself. Because if we're not, you know, connected with God, if we're not receiving wisdom and insight from His Word, we're going to feel lonely, we're going to feel hopeless. If we're not connecting with other people, we're going to feel unsupported, alone, we're going to feel disconnected, all those things. And if we're not connected to ourselves through good self-care, spending time with yourself, doing things that are enriching, you know, that restore your sense of well-being, adventurous fun, stimulating activities. Okay.
I took myself out for coffee the other day and we had a blast.
Good for you, so, yourself and you.
Right.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Go do whatever you like. I don't care if it's coffee or going out to just walk around in the park. We were running this morning, my wife and I, in the park, and there was this guy, and he was in from Chico visiting his family here. And his son had just graduated from the Focus Academy. And he was out running. I said, oh, how long you been out? Oh, about a half hour. I said, how long, how much more? He wanted some directions around the park. And I said, well, how much more do you want to do? He said, oh, about an hour and a half, two hours more.
Oh, my goodness.
And I thought, wow, now that's a person who knows how to spend quality time with himself, okay?
Right.
But there's a couple self-care things going on there. Exercise. Eating right is really important. I mean, we sound like a broken record on these things, but let's face it, it works. You know, you take care of yourself, you can't give what you don't have. So when you take care of yourself, you have something to give. Okay.
You know, Jason, I can feel people thinking right now. From what you just said, it made perfect sense to me. But I think a lot of people are probably thinking, how is that connected? We were talking about objectification and how pornography can throw that off the rails. How is that overall wellness connected to that?
Oh, it's so connected.
And say some things about that, because there's this idea of having some tanks in your life that, yep, need to be full,
right,
to make you less vulnerable.
Well, it's really this simple. The more we treat ourselves like an object, the more likely we're to treat others.
Okay? And that's brilliant.
Okay. I try to have one brilliant thing a year. Okay. I think that was just it. The more we objectify ourselves, the more we are likely to objectify others. So if we're not treating ourselves like a person, taking care of ourselves, eating right, exercising,
respect and care for, I guess, would be another way to say that.
Yeah. Then the more likely we are to treat other people like objects. It's because I think you buy what you sell. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's really important. Okay. So we're talking about staying connected to God, staying connected to yourself, staying connected to other people. If you're just joining us, we're talking about objectification and that tendency when you're struggling with lust and sexual addiction issues to look upon people as objects rather than people, the image of God. All right. So let's get back to talking about that question of in just a second here of can we look at people and appreciate them? Is, yeah, that possible? Okay. But first, look, are you struggling in your marriage with maybe this stuff has just impacted you and you're having a crisis, and maybe your husband has just confided in you about some stuff, it's overwhelming to you. Maybe you just confided in a friend that you're struggling with pornography or, you know, extramarital affairs, whatever. There's help, and there's help nearby. In fact, TAF can come to wherever you are and do an intensive right where you live. So for more information about that, call them at 877-223-7331 or email help@legendcounseling.com. And just so you know, I'm going to be speaking in Pretoria, South Africa, the end of August. So any of you South Africa listeners, we'd love to have you come to our conference. For more details, just see my website, healingforthesoul.org. Also, Pure Passion TV, we're going to be taping a few shows in Los Angeles in early July. So we're looking for a set. So if you have a church that has nice scenery and whatnot and that's available on a Monday and Tuesday, please get in touch with me. We'd love to be able to avail ourselves of your facility. You can call me at 719-590-7685. So, okay, here's the question, Taff. Is it possible to look at people and appreciate them for their beauty if you're a sex addict?
I think it depends. It depends. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's sort of this matrix of how you notice someone. Mm-hmm. And it depends on your level of maturity, spiritually and intellectually and emotionally. It depends on also your level of recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have men in recovery in my practice who cannot enter a bookstore because of that's the stage that they're in recovery.
Right.
Now, a couple of years from now, that probably won't be true for them.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, I have some. Their boundary is I can't even walk, much less people, they can't even walk by a magazine stand
mm-hmm.
of any kind, even if there's nothing pornographic.
Right.
Because they know they will stop and the objectification will pull them in. So I think there are ranges. I mean, I don't know if you've heard this, but sometimes men will get, they'll give themselves the 3-second rule.
Yeah.
Now, I think if you're staring at the wrong part of the anatomy for 3 seconds, I don't think that rule works.
Yeah, with the wrong heart, it doesn't matter how many seconds you're staring for.
Right? You know, if it's 3 seconds chin and up on another person, with the right heart, you don't tend, and in 3 seconds, you don't tend to objectify because you're not lingering over any imagery.
Mm-hmm.
You're noticing a face. You're noticing that that's a human being.
Right.
And in 3 seconds, you've already moved on to something else. And mm-hmm. I think in a beginning stage of recovery, that's where the objectification is so far gone.
Right.
And I don't mean gone away. I mean it's so entrenched.
Yeah.
I think that's probably good. But I think as people mature, to get more to your point, to your question, you know, can someone appreciate the beauty of another person without that being self-serving?
Mm-hmm.
And
so, okay, so here's where this question comes from, because sure. We were talking about this in one of our teleconference groups just yesterday. And so the guy said, as we were talking about this, well, can we really appreciate? And so I said, you know what? That question is a good question. It's just not the right question. The right question is, can I really appreciate? Because there isn't any, like, you know, one fell swoop policy
mm-hmm.
that covers everybody because of all those particulars and all those variables you mentioned, you know, your experience of that, how you tend to do that, where you're at,
how you define appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Right. So here's the key to all of it. This might be actually my second brilliant statement in a year and on the same day. I don't know.
So, we'll see. So you let me 2010 is going to be a slow year for
it,
you.
It could
then.
Be. It might okay. be. Okay. I don't know. So here's the deal. I lost it. I'm just kidding. Here's what I think it really boils down to is we have to listen to, know, and scrutinize our hearts. I mean, be honest. Aren't there times where, I know this is true for me, you just don't even want to bother with your heart, or you don't even want to look, you don't even want to know, you don't want to listen to it, you don't want to be honest with yourself.
You don't want to know what all's down in there.
Right. Yeah. Or so you don't want to know, or you just don't want to deal with it, or you don't feel like you could deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. I mean, that is the way it goes, right? And mm-hmm. and so, but if we listen to our heart, that's actually one of those things that gets back to self-care, you know, is being willing to care for our heart because we're willing to listen to it and know it. You can't care for your heart unless you're willing to listen to it. Well,
and that's the thing, Jason, that will help you be honest with yourself
right.
as you're answering that question.
Yep.
Because if we gave it a blanket yes, you can appreciate the beauty of others without, you know, it being self-serving. If we just said yes to that
mm-hmm.
without what you just said, I think a lot of people would get in trouble with that.
Right. Absolutely. But, and honestly, if we adopt those broad sweeping policies, I mean, do you know what that leads to? Phariseeism, basically. Or you could say a reverse Phariseeism, okay? But anyways,
we make it a rule, I guess, is what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We also set people up to stumble because for what one person can handle, the other person can't. Okay. The person next to you can't. Okay. So you have to be careful about those big rules. But when we listen to, and isn't that the difference between the law and the love in the first place? Is that when we listen to our hearts, rather than relying on rules all the time, and not that rules are bad in and of themselves, but when we just try and follow rules, that's when we tend to ignore our heart.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a kind of an analogy here, Jason. Maybe you can tell me if you like this or not. But why is it that when we go to appreciate, say, something inanimate, like artwork in a museum, and we go and do that, and you linger in front of certain pieces of work for sometimes 15, 20 minutes. Now, not everybody does this, but this is something that, you know, that I've done. My wife is an artist. You know, we appreciate art. Why is it that you can linger in front of a beautiful piece of work, and it doesn't enter our mind to rip it off the wall and take it home?
That's a good point. I'm thinking maybe neurological circuitry is one of the factors there.
Well, it's actually really simple. We go there with absolutely nothing in our mind that tells us that it could remotely belong to us.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you should, so then therefore you should view nudity because you're gonna you know, play the mind game with yourself that, well, it doesn't belong to me, and so I can therefore appreciate beauty. But I think it, there's something to that, that the fact that you don't consider that you're taking something for yourself, that you don't, it doesn't belong to you. That has not, what we do with objectification is that we sexualize people.
Right.
And,
right.
And we take from them. Now think about it like this. We take from them something that they didn't give to us.
Yeah, and technically it's not even sexualizing them, it's eroticizing them.
That's it.
Because sexuality is very, you know, it's about two people coming together. We're not going to come together with that person. We weren't meant to come together with that person. So it can never be sex.
Right, and at the end of the day, God didn't give them to you.
Right.
And so you're stealing from them.
That's a good point.
You know, if you have sex with someone in your mind without their permission, sex without permission is called what?
Lust or fornication.
Well,
or
if you have sex with someone without their permission, literally.
Rape.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
And so it goes to those all, I mean, that's a pretty dark place.
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually what's happening. And there's sort of a mystical part of this too, because I've noticed, and this would probably take another show to talk about, but that has an effect on the one being objectified as well.
Right.
That vibe goes through the air.
Right.
And over time, if a person is objectified enough, you've seen probably seen some really detrimental effects of in people who have been objectified over time. Well, so I could say more about that.
So a good thing then to do in closing here is when you're ready to start appreciating people, and can do that with the right heart, then when we're tempted to go back into that objectification world, we can say, hey, that's like a painting. That's not mine. I mean, that's God's workmanship. Praise God. All right. So listen, next week we're going to talk about schemas. Give these guys a 30-second soundbite of what we're going to be talking about next time.
Schemas are the really bad colored glasses that we wear, that were given to us when we were young through an event or through pain or through disappointment. And they really mess up the way we see our life in the here and now. So it's the way that our past has caused us to interpret our world and how to put that back on track.
Okay, good. Thanks for tuning in. It's the Blazing Grace Show, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening. Blazing Grace is a listener-supported program, and your prayers and financial contributions are greatly appreciated. For more information on the issues discussed in today's program, or to make a donation, go to healingforthesoul.org. We appreciate you listening and hope you join us next time for Blazing Grace.